Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. November 21, 2020. New Life 1286. Family care for an elderly parent.
Shalom lachem, todah shetem itzom.
Hello to you, thank you for joining us. This is our New Life series of talks with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello to you, hello everyone. Hello, Yael Leshed Ha'el. This is show number 1286, and we'll examine a very complicated picture from life, and we'll ask Dr. Leitman how to relate to it through the wisdom of connection, through the new perception of reality, which he teaches us. Yeah, we want to speak today about situations that happen in many families in Israel. We talk about how we have an adult parent, a mother who reaches an adult, very advanced age. She has three children already who are also becoming adults, and she starts having difficulties in life. It's difficult for her to perform some of the day-to-day activities, and the kids hired for her some assistant, but things are becoming complicated. In the past year, the health situation of the mother becomes worse and worse, and the children have to help the mother more. They have to come with her to medical examinations, to be in contact with her a lot. There's a lot of bureaucracy with the establishments, and the children begin to feel this as a serious burden, and each one throws responsibility on the other, and creates anger and frustration is generated then between the brothers. Each one wants the other to take care of the mother and more, and so he could do it less. And what happens ultimately is that one of the children bears the brunt of it. So before I continue on detailing this picture, I'd like to, if you can, inside of the family, it becomes complicated. It's becoming charged. There's conflicts between the brothers, and actually there is a dilemma regarding how to split the burden. Indeed, some feel that the closest one, living closest to the mother, has to do most of the work, and then he says no, everyone has to share the burden. And also there's a question regarding how devoted they are to taking care of the parent. It's a question, to what extent do we as children, her children, have to really take care of the mother who took care of us all our life? And there's also a viewpoint where people say, I have my own family, it's very difficult these days, I do my best, I cannot do any more. So that's a situation that's commonly occurring in families in Israel. So when we look at it from an integral perspective, how do you see that reality? Dr. Leitman, look, I don't know, but I think that if we're talking about the average family, then everyone is working. The children are at school, university, the parents are at work, and the grandparents, well, they really are a couple, or maybe even only one of them remains, usually the woman. And she requires assistance already. There's no one to bring her medicine, no one to bring her food, and so on. Or maybe she lives in an apartment, maybe she can still go out. Maybe it's difficult for her even to go out alone, but it's a problem. It's a big problem. Usually, what you do is that each of the children pays a certain sum of money, and then so we hire someone to be close to our mother and take care of her. Yeah, we have someone like that, let's say, but usually we, in medical, with medical matters and concerns, usually we'll take, who takes care of it is one of the family. Also, you want to know when you go with her to the doctor, you want to hear what's happening, you want to make sure she's getting the best possible care. So members of family do deal with the medical bureaucracy there. And the day-to-day things, going shopping or cleaning the house, cooking food, you can get assistance. But right now there's a medical concern that's becoming more complex, and you do need the children for that. That's what usually happens in the average Israeli family, and here the conflict starts. Oh, and here I want to present to you the characters, so we start knowing the family a bit more. So the first thing you said, you mentioned, they already did. Each one gave a certain sum, and they have assistance to cover some of the basic needs. Now let's get to know this family better. The mother has three children. As we said, each one has a family of his own. Each one works very hard, and he has his own life, his own business. Now, the sister lives next to the mother. So right now, as it happens, most of the burden falls to the sister. She also feels more connected emotionally to the mother, and most of the attention and the help falls to her. Now, this makes her slightly bitter because the other brothers don't participate equally. So on one hand, she does everything required, and on the other, she feels bitterness and resentment. Now, after this sister, we have a brother who has a very, very prominent, very important role where he works. He lives a bit far. He tries to do what he can, but he's not so available. Then we have the third sister who lives a bit far away. She's also a kind of a messy person. She's not very well organized. Even if she says that tomorrow she'll come and be with her mother and take care of stuff, 50% of the cases, it doesn't work out. She has all sorts of problems suddenly, you know, kind of a messy person. So the more attention they need to give to the mother, the more the conflict escalates, let's call it. Now, what we assume here, as part of the discussion, is that this family wants to learn something. They want to learn something they don't know from the integral perception of reality. So teach us gradually, lead us through how to look at this situation through integral glasses. It's not a simple situation. Let's start breaking it down. Dr. Leibman, according to what you're presenting here, there is no solution at all. If it doesn't come around in a good, happy, warm way with the complete agreement of the children, you cannot do anything here. Because you want to buy attention for that mother, and that cannot be bought with money. That's clear. The police can come, the fire brigade and whatever, social workers, but that's not what you need here. And it's like here with the children, they do their utmost as much as they can, but in the current state, all of them are busy, and the truth is, they also received such education where they don't feel in their hearts that their duty is to take care of their mother as someone who is dear to them. And so I don't know. I don't have an answer here. What I can say is, well, what's left here to do is a nursing home, maybe. Yeah, so I want to focus the discussion. The children care greatly for the mother. I think if each one of them was a lone child, he would take care of the mother. But there's these calculations between them. Each one feels that he wants more participation from the others. It's not just him with the mother, but there are brothers here who have to organize together and find a solution that feels fair to them, so they feel they all bear the burden equally, to feel that they have partners in this journey and not each one feeling that he's making the biggest effort. There's a lot of desire to do it. Good relationship in the family, but they want to help the mother, but they want to feel a certain equality as they do so. So how does the integral perception look at the matter of equality? Dr. Eichmann, I can't say. What is equality? It's where each one gives as much as he can, or half, or three quarters, but still, equality won't be according to kilograms or time spent or anything like that. According to what do you weigh the equality? You measure the equality. Owen, that's exactly the question. How do we measure the equal participation? Dr. Leitman, that's why I'm telling you that there is no solution to begin with. You want to measure how each one relates to the mother so that it becomes equal between all of the children. That cannot be. Each one feels it differently, received different education, has a completely different character to the others, a different attitude with respect to the mother, a different situation in his own personal family. Right? One of the, let's say one of the brothers has controlling wife who doesn't allow him to go. She requires all of the attention to herself, like any other woman. And the daughter, let's say, the sister, she has her own problems in the family and so on. I mean, you're bringing a situation where you cannot get an answer, you cannot solve it. Okay, so we have a complex situation that has no easy solution. So let's put the operative solution off to one side for now and look at it all in terms of relationships. What's important for the mother here? Well, she begins to feel that there's conflict brewing between her children, and that just that feeling already makes her sicker than she would be. Dr. Leitman, correct. Owen, and the children, they also feel that their relationships are worsening. So how do we take that family in that given situation and begin to put the relationships between them, between the brothers, in order, slightly transforming them? How do we bring new air into the relationships? What do we do? First step. Dr. Leitman, we hold a meeting, a family meeting, and we divide. Owen, who has to be in the meeting, the mother or just the children? Dr. Leitman, no, the children, without the mother. Owen, okay, so the three of them without the mother. Dr. Leitman, so we write down what we need to do in order to give the mother a feeling that she is the center of our attention. Center of our warm hearts in general, and what each one needs to do to accomplish this. So each one needs to see what he can take from the others, and what we cannot do, perhaps we can pay for, and what we can, we do ourselves, but it should be clear what we do to each one of us. And that's how we advance. When I know that I must accomplish this and I have to give warm, considerate attention to the mother, that sets me up in a way where whatever I'm compelled, obligated to give back to the mother, I give her back. Yeah, so you say that our approach to begin with is wrong and we need to change our approach. So the first step, if I understand correctly, is that each one performs this calculation with himself and they don't talk to each other still. Dr. Leitman, no. After we divide our work to parts with respect to the mother, this is what I do, this is what you do, and so on, then each one takes care of his part. Oh, and after we divided the different tasks, Okay, just a second though. I want to delay here on the with the division. I feel very identify with the sister who lives close to the mother. She's, you know, they say that there's nothing that happens by chance. So it's not randomly that she lives close to the mother. She feels her very close. She feels an intimate connection. Now, she feels, if I represent her in that family meeting, and if we define the missions, the tasks rather, then she knows best how to define, because she does it all for now. So she has a whole weekly schedule, and she's asking, so who's taking what? She takes something, he takes something, and me, the sister, I take something, but I feel that they're taking a bit too little on themselves. What do I do with that feeling? Dr. Lightman, look, I don't know, but it always happens this way. Oh, and what do you mean? Dr. Lightman, someone takes more and someone takes less. It's according to the tendencies of his heart and his connection to the mother or his ability. And perhaps we can then compensate him differently. Oh, and this is natural, as you see it? Dr. Reidman, I think this is what happens in each and every family. Owen, yes, but the question is how to relate to them. How should I then relate to them? They lax a bit, they are a bit lazy. How do I look at the way they relate to the problem? Dr. Lightman, look, I don't know. There are many calculations and the feelings here. I cannot go into it. Dr. Lightman, so what kind of hearts, what kind of perception should she approach this situation with which to regard the others? Dr. Lightman, look, if we are talking about it from the perspective of the wisdom of Kabbalah, then of course here, each one of them must understand that there are things he must pay back to his parents, where it's as if he's paying back the Creator. Because below the Creator, we have the parents. And the Creator arranges for us our parents that we're born from, that take care of us. And we get every kind of assistance from them, and very devoted also, devotedly. And we must make an effort to reciprocate. To reciprocate as much as possible. Of course it will never be the same as the parents relate to the children. Oh, and why? Dr. Lightman, it cannot be, because we always look towards the future, never towards the past. And that's how it's written, that's what will be. But nevertheless, we have to make an effort. Oh, and there's a feeling, if you look at our lives now, when compared to what we had 10, 20, 50 years ago, it seems that today it's much more difficult for children to regard the parents in a warm, heartfelt love for their children, care for the children. Dr. Lightman, yes, that can't happen now. We've disconnected from the parents. We have school, we have university, we have work that really, really squeezes us dry. It's not the same as before. Life is such that we don't have time to look back. It's only forward, forward, forward. Owen, so exactly at this point, I want to introduce to you the second child, the brother. He has a very, very high, he's in very high office, and he has a very important role where he works, and usually, okay, he says the following. In my life, I'm very, very busy. I don't have even time for, I don't have time for my children, to be honest. He has a very high office, he's working day, like morning to night, and he says, look, to the sister, he says, look, you live very close to the mother. It's natural that you be there more. And he doesn't understand really why she feels a bit exploited, right, in a way. So how can he relate to the sister? How can he speak to her in a way that's a bit more, Dr. Lightman? He needs to compensate with money, to pay for someone who will clean the mother's house, etc., if he has means. And even if he doesn't, what he doesn't do, he need to compensate for. Yeah, so what we're trying to do is to here is derive principles according to which people can think in an integral way. A family that does wants to adopt integral perceptions. What kind of principles can you give us from this, Dr. Lightman? I can't. I had a mother. She was in a nursing home in Canada. My brother also lives not far from where she was, in Toronto, and I'm in Israel. So the only thing I could do is to pay that nursing home, according to whatever they asked for, which is a lot of money for an Israeli, but I paid it. More than that, what could I do? To come to her once, twice a year. That's what I did, and that's it. There's nothing more. What can I? What to ask several times a week? What's going on? Of course, but what? Owen, it's okay. If I put this case off to one side for a second, this is just an example of an argument and separation caused between the brothers in the family and sisters, because they feel that the other doesn't participate as much as I do, the same as I, sharing the burden equally. So how, as I, as a member of the family, need to look at you and her, my brother and sister, let's say, when I feel that you participate less in fulfilling the needs of the family? How to relate to this? How to look at it? Dr. Lightman, no courthouse, no wise man in the world can divide it for you in such a way where it'll satisfy each and every one. Oh, and so what do we do in order to keep our good relationships? What to do? Dr. Lightman, they need to sit together once a month or two, as much as they can, maybe once every half a year, and to summarize what happened, what's happening, where did we go wrong, what do we need to do, and to make sure that each one, with his time, with his money, with his energy, to do the work. Owen, I have an interesting question here. Let's say they have this assembly once a month, and they summarize, this is what we have, this is what we do, what we succeeded in. Do I need to share what I feel with my sister, my bigger sister? I need to share with you? Does she need to share with me? Do we need to share our feelings? Dr. Lightman, that greatly depends on who they are as people. I don't know. Look, you know, in a family, between brothers, there's all sorts of calculations that go back. Oh, and yes, they go back many years, and they hinder us from connecting properly, relating to each other. What do we do? Keep them in us, in our bellies? And Dr. Lightman, no, we look at the mother and that's it, without any previous conflicts and nothing else. Yeah, and with what kind of approach do we come to this assembly? Dr. Lightman, we want to see how to serve or to help the mother as best as we can. We need to see how we can do that and for things not to fall, blow over the next day. Yeah. Okay, so there's a complex family situation here. This is an opportunity. Is it an opportunity for the family to create new, to raise the connection between them to a state which is a bit higher than these conflicts, the existing conflicts? Dr. Lightman, I wouldn't take that work upon myself. Oh, wait, why? Dr. Lightman, there are families here, but for the three brothers and sisters, you have three whole families for each one of them. Here you have a wife, here a husband and children and so on, and work, and distances and other things. I wouldn't take that. I would summarize everything in this meeting between them, the three children alone. Don't add anyone to this. Oh, and not to add their partners? Look, like, no, God forbid, just them, and to end it there, where each one of us has to do this, you need to do this, I need to do that, and so on, and we're done. Oh, I have a question that I must ask. Now, emotionally speaking, what kind of interaction needs to take place between us, the children, so that our mother will feel better health-wise? Because for now it's certain that the bad relationships between us, they finish her. It's easy, you can even see it. Dr. Leibman, if we summarize together in a very healthy way, in a very, very purposeful way, without involving emotions, that this is what we must do, this is what we must accomplish, and so on. That's the best, in a very business-like manner, because it won't change over time. It won't come to some eruption. It won't come to a head. And that's how we will maintain it. Yeah, so you say that there's an important place for the permanence of this business, and also it's important not to go to more emotional lines. There needs to be, Dr. Leichmann, it needs to be cold. As far as we're concerned, this is a cold matter. We have a mother, and it doesn't matter what we had in our children, in our childhood with her, or now. Each one has a husband or a wife, which is also, it can cause all sorts of conflict. That's clear. No. We need many years to take care of our mother. May she be well and healthy. And that's, then we need to organize. And so I come home and I tell my wife, you see this piece of paper? Here it lists what I have to do. It's like that, as a fact. There's nothing we can do about it. Maybe you have the same arrangements with respect to your parents. That's fine. This is what I must do. This we have agreed on. Oh, and so last concluding question. I'm sorry, our time is up. So it's a complex situation, but it happens in almost every family. So what is the most important integral principle we learned today? Dr. Leichmann. Without involving emotions. Practical calculations without involving emotions. We calculate time, energy, and money. Leichmann, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you all for being with us. New life, learning to live well. All the best. Goodbye.
Everything is measured relative to the highest goal. Question. Baal HaSulam writes in his article The Peace, we need not excessively examine the mitzvah, singular for mitzvah, of reception, since the punishment is carried out immediately, which prevents any neglect. What is this about? Indeed, in reality, we do not observe those who receive being punished by nature. Answer. The fact that we do not see punishments and rewards does not mean anything. In nature, everything is created in such a way that both punishment and reward follow immediately, they simply are not revealed to us. Question. You mean to say that people who receive more than they give and use others are getting punished by nature, but we do not see this. What is their punishment then? Answer. In our world we see everything the other way around. The righteous suffer, the wicked prosper, Mishnah Berakhot, 7a, 25. People who rudely use this world and exploit others are envied by everyone because we do not see the big picture. You can't do anything here. Everything is measured relative to the highest goal, which we do not yet understand, do not see, and do not approve of, that is, regarding the unification of absolutely everyone into one single system. This is exactly the state that is lost by people who are using everything for themselves. From CabTV's Communication Skills, August 21, 2020. Basic income, to each according to his needs. Question: today, basic income has for the first time managed to penetrate the mainstream, and it has even been tested in some places. It was a utopian idea until recently, but suddenly, times have changed. You are a supporter of this model. But don't you consider it as equalization? After all, when we talk about basic income, we mean the same amount for everyone. Answer: no. Basic income should be given to everyone according to their needs. And the fact that today it is the same for everyone is only to help get rid of the problem. Question: who can determine a person's needs? Our nature is that we will always cheat. Answer: no, we are not talking about our nature when everyone receives like it is today, and everyone suffers from it. The true basic income is that everyone gets as much as they need and no more, according to their own choice. Question: can you imagine what kind of self-awareness a person must have for him to say, I need just this much and no more? Answer: self-awareness is very simple. Men must believe in the highest reward, meaning, what he will be getting for trying to take only what he needs. He receives the highest reward for fulfilling this condition. Comment: here you introduce a new element. This is impossible without understanding the higher force. My response: without the Creator, without God, without the higher force, without higher reward and punishment, without the higher state, call it a paradise or whatever, it is impossible. Question: and how is this different from religion? Most people today are religious, but we see that they are not influenced in any way. What kind of faith are you talking about? Answer: I am talking about the kind of faith when we sense the upper force, come into contact with it, exchange mutual reception and bestowal with it, and this is what we exist for. Question: this is a very important point. It turns out that until a person feels the higher force, he will not be able to say, I need exactly this much and I give the rest to you? Answer: no, he cannot. Otherwise, we will have socialism. Faith means feeling the Creator, a sensation of the common force that holds the entire universe in itself. From CabTV's Communication Skills, September 11, 2020. Unearthly motivation. Question: how appropriate is the carrot and stick principle in an integral approach to motivation? Answer: we see that nature constantly uses this principle. It doesn't ask us, it just pushes us, and that's it. Question: do you think the carrot and stick method is acceptable at work, in society? Answer: yes. In any case, we only understand either the carrot or the stick. Nature and society cannot affect us in any other way because we clearly perceive only reward and punishment. The difference is in their shape. Question: what are the features of Kabbalistic motivation? Answer: this is a completely different level. When we rise above reward and punishment, that is, above knowledge, and go only by the power of bestowal, love, and without any egoistic motives, it opens up completely different spaces, different circumstances. This is called faith above reason. Question: where does a person draw energy from if there are no egoistic motives? Answer: from above. Our nature has a very interesting, I would say unique source of energy that can provide a person with unearthly, unselfish motivation, and the person will do the job. The science of Kabbalah has a method for getting the energy and motivation that we cannot feel with our senses. Question: do you think it's easier to motivate children than adults? Answer: of course, because children are attracted to certain, specific items, objects, and rewards. So they are easy to manipulate. Adults are much more difficult. And the most difficult thing is to train an adult to manipulate himself. From CAB TV's Management Skills, August 28, 2020.